The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Good start. I can't get the mic out of the thing. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Chatting with Jawley. Live-ish. We've got a lovely little show for you today. It's very sunny in Scotland, so everyone's out there with a little meat pie in the sun, having the time of their life. A little can of, I don't know what they're drinking, coconut water. Because it's the fringe, that's probably what they're drinking. But we'll get onto the stage, my beautiful guests. First, let me have a little round of applause for the gorgeous, well, big round of applause, Reese Nicholson. Beautiful. You have a little seat there, babe. And then the gorgeous Shelf. Woo! Oh, well done, Milky. That was very life affirming.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. Oh, you go for the no sock.
Now look, this has been. I'm wearing a socket.
Oh, you got a socket.
And the amount, but it does look like I have just like some sort of skin problem.
Yeah, that looks like just one giant layer of flaky skin.
Yeah.
Well, no offence, Reese.
You know what? It's that point of the fringe. Aren't we all a big flaky piece of skin at this point? People get very weird about the no socks or the sockets. And I don't know how else to... Because I feel like if I was to wear like a white sock or something, it would be very Michael Jackson-y. And I feel like that's fallen out of fashion, Diane.
Yeah, it is. It has. I mean, you can't see the sock. That's when I don't like it, when the little sock just...
Pops up, yeah, you know, winking.
Yeah, like a tissue on a shoe.
Yeah.
Anyway. Now, Shelf, my beautiful babes, I only saw you recently. We was doing a little festival together, weren't we?
Yeah, it was lovely. Lovely time. Nice. Yeah, really
nice. Do you know what happened, though? At one point, I went up to us both, because you were sat there, and I said, oh, you don't have to stick around and watch me. You went... We're waiting for our amp. Okay.
Well, you actually didn't want to be here.
That's quite rude, yeah. We're just staying here out of duress. We're waiting for our amp. But it was a nice little festival, wasn't it?
It was lovely, yeah. It was so really nice. Good vibes.
What was the festival?
Deershed.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not from this place, so I've asked and then I got no backup questions.
Where was that? That was in...
Thirsk.
Thirsk.
All of these are made up words. Every single one of them.
Yeah, well, that is London. You know when you're on a train, they're like, Cockleton.
Yeah.
The next station is Wimblecock.
Yeah.
That's where Milky's from.
Cock Foster's is always my favourite.
Is it? Have you been?
Mud Shoot and Cock Foster's.
Yeah.
And I'm from Australia, where we made up everything.
Anyway, have a nice drink of Mud Shoot down in Cock Foster's. It's the place to be. It's beautiful. Now, this is... Your first festival, isn't it, guys?
It's our first proper festival, yeah. It's our first doing it in a paid venue. We've done weird little things in free fringe venues. Done the LOL word before at free fringe venues. So it's the first time we've had like someone on the door and tech and lights.
That's been a huge change.
Is that a big? Is that a big? You know, big leap.
It's a huge nerve wracking and a lot of money.
And where's that? Where's that coming from? Is it? You want to borrow?
I think we both like kept full-time day jobs for longer than was reasonable while we were doing comedy, and then we saved all the money we got from comedy and put it in a platonic joint account that we share.
Oh, which one? Is it?
NatWest.
Oh.
But we're thinking of switching.
I can't access it. Well, so Ruby's got our joint money and I just have to trust her.
Oh, I wouldn't. This is getting Simon and Garfunkel very quickly.
Well, me and Milky have got a Monzo and we both got a little card. And if he says, Diane, I need some Cheerios, I say, go for your life.
And you can both access it. Maybe we should do
let's
that.
Let's
honestly,
do that.
Monzo's the way forward. But this is obviously you're a legendary Fringe visitor.
Really?
Oh, you are. I remember actually our first Fringe. That was what?
Oh, yeah.
What was that, 8-9 years ago?
Yeah.
And I saw your face. I thought, oh, he's interesting.
I used to see, you would sing, our venues were right next to each other, and you would sing in, like, the pasture. Is that right? Have I made this up?
This sounds like so long in the past. Singing in the pasture when this was all
fields. I've sung in a pasture or two in my past. Don't get me wrong. But I can't think of what pasture that was.
Or, like, oh, maybe, I don't know. But I used to walk, because, you know, we dress up for shows.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we would have this unspoken, we'd walk past each other and just have this unspoken, like, I don't know who you are,
but
you don't know who I am, but yeah, let's work together.
And we got the same hair. Can't get the same hair.
Yeah. I think people would probably walk around thinking we were brother and sister all the time.
Well, I think you'd probably be more like my son.
Oh, thank you. Wasn't fishing like what I caught?
No, well, of course you were. But I handed you it anyway. A nice big trout.
Please, so, sit down, everyone. Please.
I like to ask at this stage, you know, where's your digs?
Where am I living?
I imagine you're probably up in the castle. With Ian McKellen?
Yeah. Yeah, well, look, I'm not allowed to talk about that. But, where am I? I'm living kind of like, well, as we know, this year there's been a big old, you know, we've got Appgate and we've got a Comgate. Where am I living? Like, I don't even know, we were just talking about this, but I keep forgetting what area I live in.
You know, Ruby.
Oh, I want to say
like Haymarket, kind of.
Yeah, it's near the strip clubs, right?
Yeah. I'm living. Look, I'm part timing. I got a lot of day shifts. Can you imagine anything worse than me trying to strip? Why do you ask?
Well, because it's like you said, because of all the controversy around accommodation. I like to get a little idea of the coziness. If you've got a nice little cozy vibe, or
yeah, it's cozy, but it's nice. It's like, you know, we paid a bunch of so much more money than we should have for it, but sure. I'm not living in student accommodation. I'm very glad to not be living in student accommodation. It is. Ooh, sorry. Ooh.
Yeah, don't go there.
Yeah. Yeah, my door doesn't have a key card reader on it that beeps, and I don't have like an ensuite. It's just a toilet and a hole.
I set the alarm off every time I walk out of Tesco. Just put it that way. I've got so many fobs hanging off me. I don't know whether I'm coming or going. Have you got a nice gaff, though?
Yeah,
I bet it's a bit classy.
You keep thinking of new and fun ways, very English ways to say house.
Oh, yeah, well, I've just got them all in here.
Digs, like gaff.
I'm a little vocabulary dispenser. I could think of loads. Gaff. Digs, scrubs.
I need four more. Give me four more.
Oh, God.
Sorry, I don't.
No, I'm going to do it now. You set me a challenge. Den?
Yeah?
Nice.
For maybe a fox?
Yeah. Cubby?
Oh. Ooh. Two more.
Ends?
Ends?
It's very urban. And then I've got one more, right? Mm. Come on, Milky, deliver. Home.
I'd give that a round of applause.
Yeah, why not? And you were here last night, weren't you, for the karaoke?
Did you
do a little number?
I didn't, so Believe by Cher got taken pretty early on, and that's kind of my go-to. So.
It was a bit like the Who's Who of comedy in here last night, basically just taking it in turns to do karaoke. And I imagine if you were a poor little, you know, runner on the fringe, just sitting there looking, I ain't never going to get a chance. Because who walks up next? And Patty Harrison walks up, and then it's Olga Koch walks up, and then it's Kiri Pritchard-McLean walks up, and then you're just like, okay, all right, what is this? The Royal Variety.
And they're all surprisingly good at singing, aren't they?
It's disgusting.
It's outrageous, because I'm in a musical comedy double act, and I'm tone deaf. And I'm just looking at all these comedians who can sing beautifully but don't need to be funny. And you're just like, what the hell?
You ain't tone deaf, though, I've heard you sing.
No, I am.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I am. I just pretend and Ruby sings.
Yep.
Oh well, we'll try that later. What's your background then? Where did you, you know, where did you meet and what's the vibe?
So we both grew up in Tulse Hill in South London, and our houses are across the street from each other. We can see each other's houses from our windows. And I think our parents were friends.
Yeah, so our mums knew each other, and Ruby's the year below me. And so my mum...
Got it.
Yeah, sorry, still boasting. Ruby's year below me, so my mum asked me to walk Ruby to school on her first day.
Oh, that's
school.
Sweet.
Yeah, except Ruby actually had loads of friends that she was walking to school with, so I kind of just showed up outside her house and was like, oh. And Ruby didn't know I was going to be walking, so just walked straight past me with all these other friends, and I just walked behind them.
Like a tiny bodyguard.
Yeah, just walked, and then I waited after school to walk her back and did the same thing, and then eventually we started chatting, and then we became friends.
What a thoroughly depressing story.
Yeah.
And is that the tragedy, and you've added time to that?
Yeah, and now we're comedy. Funny. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
How did you end up in comedy then? What made you go?
So
in that
I did comedy at uni. And then Ruby came to visit in Edinburgh, saw the sketch troupe, thought they were shit, but I was quite funny and was like, oh, do you want to just do it as a double act instead? And we saw like The Pin at the time. Oh, we were like, oh, that's really cool. Maybe we should try that. They're mates. They're funny.
Yeah.
Give it a go.
Yeah. And then when I mean, as Rachel might have told you, I'm in the year below her. So once we both graduated, we just started... insanely doing sketch comedy at like open mic nights, and then just kept at it from there.
I wonder what happened to Pin. I mean, they were good, but you must know this, you see so many people, don't you, and they kind of, when you do the Fringe for a long time, they just disappear.
Yeah.
You think, oh, he's, you know, he's gone back to banking, or they've gone back to, I don't know,
or they work in arts admin now.
Yeah. But I think they were in a feature film, though, The Pin. Oh. I think The Pin are doing really well.
Are they?
The Pin are doing really, really very well. Yeah, they're on West End. Like,
sorry, can we get you a seat up on the stage? Babe? Nothing like an opinionated audience member, is there? We'll taser them on the way out. But you know what I mean there? I'm not necessarily saying Pin particularly. I'm just saying all these acts.
Yeah, it doesn't apply with The Pin. The Pin are very successful.
They've done well. Okay, sure. Well, excluding them, you do get a lot of people on the way, you know. And it's sad because a lot of people can't afford to do it. Well, they can't stay in the arts for long, can they? Because they get, you know.
Well, we're all just... Do you know what? The worst thing I reckon I've ever done in my life... This isn't true. I mean, this is true that I did this, but it's not the worst thing I've ever done. I used to do this thing when I would be feeling down, like almost a decade ago, my first Fringe was... I would search on the Fringe website the word cancelled and just scroll through the graveyard of people that had to cancel their thing.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Terrible. It's real. I know that's really bad.
And that made you feel better.
Well... It often backfired because sometimes it would be someone who cancelled their run because they got a big movie or something like that. But most of the time, because this is such an open Fringe, God, I sound like such an awful person now, because this is such an open festival, it often would be someone who, like, you know, there's those venues that are like 3 miles out of town and it'll be just like, Margaret's giving it a go because she got divorced and is trying to give comedy a go for the first time. And her stepkids must have, like, talked her out of it on the second last day. Anyways.
Well, there is always a woman. There's always a woman or, you know, like an older man stood outside Tesco with a flyer just kind of staring at their Scotch egg.
Yeah,
and they've just lost all will to live.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's sad. That makes me so sad.
A lot of Brians out there. A lot of Brians just giving it a whack.
That would be me next year.
Yeah. She can't take this. That's what the show's called.
Just with my meal deal. My chicken Caesar wrap. Oh. Anyone want to come to see me show? I had a nightclub last year. Now I'm doing it in a church reception. In Leith. I'm in a church reception in Leith. Come and have a pew. There's only two, but... She's like, well, I've got a collection at the end. Just put in food. I don't care about money. Just put food in. Is it supportive in Australia, like the comedy scene? Is it... Because it's a bit... It's quite hard here, isn't it, I think, comedy?
Yeah.
It's not supported particularly by, you know, the arts. Unless you do an Arts Council funding thing and then you have to... That's hell for dyslexics. You know, they're never going to get any arts funding.
We no, like I mean, not on a governmental level. No, comedy is. I co-own a comedy club in Melbourne, and during at the beginning of the pandemic, we like, you know, went to some of the funding bodies to be like, hi, this isn't great. Can we maybe apply for some grants? And the woman literally said on the phone, look, comedy isn't really a thing that we fund. We're more about, and she said, could you make it seem like cabaret?
Oh, what, to get
like,
the money?
Wow. Yeah, to get the money. It was like, we're more into cabaret, which... Really?
Why is that better funded? That's, yeah.
Yeah.
That's,
well, I don't know. Who else is funding cabaret? No, anyway.
I don't throw money at the gays. They'll make it work. Do you know what I mean?
Think pound.
There's always an excuse. They're a minority.
But we literally put in out that we're a comedy theatre, not a comedy club, so we just seem more... But, you know, it's good that Opera Australia is getting millions of dollars. Anyway, this seems like the wrong avenue to purge this into.
No, get the bitterness out. I like it.
But yeah, no, I mean, look, but as an industry, we're very... But I feel like industry level, we're supportive, and so is the UK, right? I feel like everyone, like the fringe, we're all getting through this together. I mean, we'd kill each other for a spot on something, but you know what I mean? Like on a most level, like...
I guess so, but I mean, you have all the festivals out there, don't you? Like the Melbourne
International Comedy Festival and Sydney Comedy Festival.
And are they like this? Are they as kind of competitive, as an expensive?
Yeah. They're not as big... The thing about my country is we are the size of America, right? The size of America, but we have 20 million people living in the whole place. But, like, we don't... we just don't have the population for it. I think I gave you a boring answer. I'm sorry.
No, I think that's a valid answer. I mean, you know, it's just... Here, I think, like you said, there's been so much heat on the fringe that, you know, I think a lot of people are getting quite eggy with it. But the Adelaide fringe doesn't seem to have that much of a...
No, we do have
a negative representation amongst artists. Anyway, people I've heard have all been quite positive about it.
We have tall poppy syndrome, we call it. Have you heard about that? Where if someone it's like when poppies grow taller than the rest, you cut them down. So as soon as someone becomes successful in another country, we will tell them to die. Like we will Rebel Wilson, main example of like someone gets successful and we're like, well, she lied about her age. Like we just find something weird about her. And, we'll do it with anyone. And then as soon as someone tries to come back, we're very, well, look who came crawling back to do local theatre and support the arts.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Well, look at Guy Pearce, though. He was welcomed back with open arms in old...
Ramsey Street.
Ramsey.
And Kylie Minogue, who apparently doesn't talk anymore. Did you see that? She doesn't say a single word when she came back to Ramsey Street.
Do you know what? I do know this on the QT. She just had some quite severe surgery.
Oh.
And she couldn't. It was cosmetic.
Yeah.
And she couldn't open her mouth. Just like Leslie Ash. Do you remember that happened to her? No? Okay, that's niche. She basically had so much, like, lip filler.
Yeah.
That she looked like a purse. You know, like a kiddie's purse that you have to squeeze to open. Yeah. Like a baby bell. Looks like she, you know, was permanently kissing a baby bell. It weren't pretty.
I saw the most amazing show at the Fringe a few years ago that was like an evening with Jason Donovan.
Oh.
And it was just... I mean, it was exactly what you expected it to be. He basically just held up, like, the Technicolor Dreamcoat and just went, and that's what I wore, and then then there was questions from the audience.
Like a theatrical version of, like, what's that restaurant called?
Deschum.
No. Actually, the complete opposite to that. Hard Rock Cafe.
Oh, yeah. You know,
I bet they own a Jason. No, they probably don't.
I bet he works
They definitely don't. But he's, I mean, he looks terrified now, Jason Donovan, like he's... being chased by a ghost or something, doesn't he? No, he did for a brief period, but now I think he's gotten better. So all the memories he's chased by, you know, because he had a couple of rough years. God, I know it. I saw him down the flick. Blimey, O'Reilly. We had to stop the all-you-can-eat buffet because of him. I tell you what, there's only so much chicken in a basket a man can eat. Ruby, now... You have got a little bit of an American... Is that an American accent?
It is a little bit of an American accent, yeah.
What's the story there?
Well, it shouldn't have happened. So I grew up in like Brixton in South London. When I was a kid, that was the accent that I had. But my mom is from America and her family all live in California. We used to go back and forth and visit them. And I just sort of slowly developed this. And now it's kind of gone too far and I can't get rid of it. So
my dad's American. Look at that. Oh. You got the passport? Yeah, you got the passport.
I got the passport,
isn't that
yeah.
useless these days?
Not for tax reasons, but yeah, no, otherwise, yeah.
Yeah, 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 same.
Blimey, all right. You start your own podcast about, you know...
Tax evasion.
Tax evasion.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I'd listen.
We'll have the FBI on us. No, they wouldn't bother me. Not again.
Yeah, you're doing a run of shows at Mar-a-Lago, right?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Me and Donald are like that. He actually came to the flick. He did. I saw him swallow a watermelon whole. It's like an adder. He just put it in.
Yeah.
The whole thing just disappeared. And he did a little watermelon burp at the end. It was actually quite refreshing.
For him.
Then he left, didn't say a word. Dead behind the eyes. I'll never forget that night. It was a good night. Now, your shows... I mean, so, Reese.
Yeah.
You have to forgive me because I misgendered you earlier.
Oh, that's it.
But actually, when I saw you all those times ago, I imagine you probably... I don't know how you identified then, but you've had a bit of a journey, haven't you, with your self-identity recently. And it's something... Is it something you talk about in your show?
Yeah, my show. It's not about it, but yeah, imagine if then I was like, I don't know what you're talking about and stormed out. I told you that in confidence. I keep forgetting that, like, so my show is about... Yeah, I came out as non-binary last year, but... I keep forgetting that I haven't told... Yeah, sure. I keep forgetting that I haven't told heaps, like, everyone in my life about... Because it was just... I figured, like, I'll just do a show about it and that'll spread. And genuinely, there have been friends come to my shows. Because it's one of those things where it was always on the cards and it hasn't changed my life in, like, a deep, deep... It's more... It's nice to be able to talk about it and stuff, but it was just, you know, it was just something... And even pronouns-wise, I prefer they, but it, like... It's new enough that I was talking to someone who also came out as non-binary recently, and we realized how we both have just will occasionally misgender ourselves. Like, it's like we have Pavlov's dog to he. But no, it is nice. I don't know. And it feels like it's getting more of a thing, right? Like, not more of a thing, but more and more people are kind of coming out as gender fluid, I think, because it feels... Anybody these days that is so determined to be like, no, I'm a man. Imagine being like, I am a man. It's like, have you heard what they've been up to? I'd be distancing myself from that group as quickly as possible.
Yeah. But it's weird, isn't it, that you feel like you have to give an excuse.
Yeah.
Like, why do you need to give an excuse as to why you want to explain? Like, you know, it's like my manager, Hazel, she was married, right? But now,
good on her.
She's not. She's divorced. But if someone calls her Miss, she'll kick off. And the minute someone says anything about non-binary, she's like, "Oh God!" And I'm like, "Sorry, Hazel. Hypocrite, much?" It's so weird that the people that care most about it, you know, the hyacinth bouquet bucket people.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's those kind of people in it. They're so concerned about the way everyone else perceives them. Yet they can't give someone else the freedom and something that makes them feel comfortable.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And it's like that. Someone explained to me recently, because I also even think they isn't quite the, like, it's that's why people do get, they get kind of weird and clumsy about it. But then someone said to me that, like, they is actually in, like, ancient, like, with a singular pronoun, like, even before he and she was. So it's like, I don't know, shut the fuck up about it.
But it is something, you talk about it a bit in your shows, don't you, about kind of the idea of gender or, you know, the...
Yeah, certainly about, like, growing up and, like, how you sort of are taught to perceive gender and whether you do engage. Like, so for me, because both my parents are queer and my mum is, like, a very mask-presenting woman, I guess for me, my idea of gender has always been quite, like, queer anyway. Mm. So then it's, like, I've never had to sort of change. I've always looked like this. And always kind of like been allowed to express that. And that, like, does really affect kind of then coming into it. You're like, well, I can just do what I like. And that's really nice. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think I had kind of the opposite sort of experience with, like, you know, a perfectly supportive but very, like, conventional kind of family where, you know, like, if you were... I was quite a masculine kid, and they were like, oh, well, that will stop at some point. We'll all just hang in there, yeah.
It's weird because even me, like, sometimes people say I look a little bit like a man, which is rude because they're being nasty. But if I'm out and about, for example, and it's the little microaggressions that people give you in it, and it's almost like someone will say to me, all right, mate, you know, if I'm out looking gorgeous, as I do.
As you always do.
Yeah.
As I always do, as, you know, as do you lot too. But They'll say, all right, mate. And you're like, why are you saying that? That's a bit rude.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't need to comment.
Yeah.
You know.
I get that with my concierge at my flat. When I come down, he alternates between calling me mate or calling me babe. What?
I think we're just shocked you've got a concierge.
Like concierge, yeah.
No, it's like a
elevator.
You actually have a lot of concierge is quite a standard thing in like high rise flats in London.
Is it?
Yeah,
I'm not
sure
if it is, babe.
I swear it is.
You'll be telling us you've got a mezzanine next.
I swear. It's just like a big...
Are you living in like a secure ward and this is a polite way to say it? Like, you know,
it's
the
hospital.
Person at the front that logs my name and says...
Is it hospital? Rachel, Chicken if it's hospital, you've got our support.
No, it's just a high-rise block of flat. Quite, it's very standard. Lots of people in East London. Please.
Dig up.
Lots of people. Anyway, my concierge is a totally normal thing to have in London.
Tumbleweed? No, it is. It is. No, it is very common. I mean, I see them everywhere, concierge. Everywhere you look, there's a concierge.
Can't move for them,
I would
them,
not
yeah.
describe it as common.
I think it is. Anyway, the concierge, it alternates between calling me mate or babe coming down. I find it so interesting about it depends on, like, I realised he started calling me babe, and then I had a one-night stand and brought a girl down, and then he suddenly started calling me mate. And it was like, what is your lines for where babe stops and mate begins?
Yeah.
And if it's just like a one-night stand, what is that? What is that about?
I've noticed an interesting, well, I think it's quite interesting, in that, like, yeah, so this club that I work at, quite the Comedy Republic, this club that I co-own, we, like, when I was started as a queer performer, you always had to make, like, a little joke when you would come on stage. You always had to be like, you know, I used to say that I, like many men, end of sentence. And it's like, not a perfect, but it was just, and just so, it's like this weird thing you had to say to the audience, like, hey, just so you know, I know, and don't panic about it. But these days, like, little baby queer comics, like 20-year-olds coming on stage, are just, there's no jokes about it. Like, they just kind of start, yeah. And the audience is like, I'm fine, like, I don't know. I have no, like, jokey end to this, I just think it's a nice thing that it's like, it's like the next generation will just have no qualms with it, I reckon.
Yeah.
And it's only the old one, you know, I say old ones, I don't want to, you know, shoot down a boomer.
Yeah.
But
oh no, please! And if you won't,
give me an Nerf gun, I'll do it.
Look,
just knock them off stead, so they just fall into the curb, kind of. You know.
And look, there's another. I've read a report this morning about another influencer coming. So if we don't knock them down, it will.
I thought there's already two on the go at the minute, isn't there? What's the new one?
It comes from rats, I think, or some sort of God. Again coming out of. Yeah, fun times. So everyone
welcome
enjoy
to the fringe. Could you
but
imagine
at least
that?
Gender doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, it's just pandemics now.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you can't ignore the Goliath of a show that you're now in on in Australia. I mean, that's huge, isn't it? What was it like joining the drag race universe?
It was. It's very fun. It's like a weird. I've had to remove any reference of it from my show because as soon as you mention it. You can really find, like, I don't know, drag, I don't know if anyone knows this, but Drag Race fans are a particular, toxic, I would describe them as.
Oh, yeah.
And it's such an interesting thing that, so I was creating the show that I'm touring at the moment in Adelaide Fringe in Australia, and I was doing the show, like, it was literally, the show was called These Are My New Jokes, No Refunds, and it was me on stage with notes, and it was very cheap tickets. And I had just been on Drag Race, so all the Drag Race people started to come. And something you learn quite quickly is Drag Race people generally don't know how to be at a show. So they would, like, sit up the front, get very drunk. And it's like, because they didn't know that I do stand-up, they just only know me as a judge on Drag Race. So they would just, like, heckle in such a... or just a lot of yes-queening from heterosexual white women.
God.
What a dream.
You've opened up a cauldron.
So anytime I would kind of say, like, there's a story in my show about something that happened to me when I was in New Zealand filming the show, but it's not about the show. And as soon as I would say, oh, I was there for Drag Race, people would just be like, yeah, like, when's season two? And so I had to stop doing that. But I realize it's on the BBC here.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas in Australia, it's on a streaming service. I was talking to Karen from Finance, one of the queens from the show, and we realized we think we might be a little bit more famous here than we are in Australia because of it. It's very strange.
So what version is the channel that it's on in maybe like a So you have to pay for it?
Yeah, you have
like
to pay
Netflix
for it.
Or something, yeah.
It's not...
Lord, it's on BBC, but that's why you get a rubbish prize.
Yeah.
You know, you get like a Filofax.
I mean, it's the...
With Drag Race on it. There you go. Cost you 50 grand. Here's a Filofax. Oh, and you get in a YouTube video. Congrats.
You get to go watch an episode of Graham Norton be filmed.
So you can see... You must have felt a huge shift in your career then since it's changed.
And it is weird, like, the strangest part for me, one, I had to learn how to be a judge, which I call myself the Paula Abdul of the group, because I don't say anything that, like, Michelle and Rue's job is to be critical. I'm always just like, I'm just happy to be here. Like, seeing queens do, like, their best work is incredible. But the weirdest part is just realize, like, for hours at a time sitting next to RuPaul and just when you realize you're like teasing RuPaul about something, like that's a very strange. It's not good for your brain to have that happen.
I mean, he's green screened in. Anyway.
Yeah, he's not there.
Just a hologram.
That was a recent thing, wasn't it?
There is this incredible rumor that Rue isn't there, and it's so weird because again, the toxic. Anyways, it's such a stretch. Like because people also complain in our season about the production values. That like you know we don't spend enough money on the show. Do you think we wouldn't spend enough money on the show and then have the technology to green screen in RuPaul? Like, it doesn't make... You can't have it... Again, 14-year-old girls, great producers. Like, I love... Because when I was a fan of the TV show, of the franchise before I was on it, I'm in with my, like, fake, like, Facebook name. I'm in some groups. I need to remove myself from them, but just it's just overhang. And so every time... It's just so hard not to be like... Shut the fuck up! Like, because it annoys me. I feel like I'm getting real about this now. Because it undermines, like, the Queen's got to meet RuPaul and RuPaul traveled to see them and stuff. And by saying he wasn't there, it's like mean to the Queen's, I feel.
Yeah,
like.
I think it undermines the generosity of the show in a way, doesn't
it? Yeah, it kind of makes like, well, he didn't even bother to come. So it is like, no, he was there. He sat in a shitty hotel for 2 weeks in quarantine so he could do it.
It must be weird, though, sat in between those two, just being like, oh, my God.
Well, they, like, the weirdest is, like, they're very... Rue's very, very, very funny. Very funny. And but he's also obsessed with discount chemists. And...
Okay.
Wait, what?
What?
Okay, cool.
Again?
We would mainly talk in New Zealand on the show, off camera, about the different... discount chemists that we like to go to and spend our per diems on during the day. He collects the way he was there. He loves to collect.
What'd you buy in a disc apart from Lulu, my perfume?
Yeah. Well, this is what he collects, like shitty perfumes. Like he goes and buys, like Gina Liano has a perfume. She's like a Real Housewife of Melbourne. And he'll buy four of them and then like spray them and just be like, Jesus Christ, that's awful. And puts it in his collection.
Wow.
Well, a true eccentric.
If you've got enough space, I imagine, you know, they probably look quite nice, all those. You know.
I like to imagine in his home, there's like a secret, like a door that you open, and it's just like, you know, the end of Indiana Jones, where it's just rows and rows and rows and rows, like forklifts just of shitty perfume.
Yeah. Nicole Richie.
Yeah.
Britney Spears.
And they all work there.
Well, or there's like just a piece of their DNA next to it in case there's ever, you know, like that big vault in Norway.
Yeah.
Just a bit of their DNA so that if there's ever annihilation, they can recreate Britney. Yeah. And her smell.
Spray the perfume, yeah.
Yeah. And her smell.
He's just very funny. You know, he's like obsessed with, you know, Auntie Donna, the sketch group? Do you know who I'm talking about?
No, never mind.
No. They're like an Australian sketch group. They have a show on Netflix and he like loves Auntie Donna. Anyways, he's just a funny guy. That's all.
Oh, look, he seems gorgeous. Yeah. I mean, he came down the flick once or twice. You know, but that was back in the day, you know. If only he knew then, you know, what he went on to become, he wouldn't have asked to borrow that money, which I never got back. But did you two...
What did he swallow whole?
Oh, you don't even want to know. But let's put it this way. It came back up again quite quickly. Well, that seems like a perfect break to move on to a little section of the show we call Dear Diane. Okay? Now, this is where gorgeous guests write in, all my gorgeous internet fans write in, and they ask us a question. Okay? So I'm going to pick one at random.
Ooh. Oh, that was just a lighting change for anyone listening at home.
Oh, yeah. Dear Diane, how are you and Ron? Oh, planning to tighten your belts during the cost of living crisis. Oh, you probably don't get the cost of living crisis in Australia, do you? You'll have quite nice high standards of living out there.
Well, we're very worried about our concierges. But,
Oh, you've sent shelf down. Yeah. Do you believe it?
Outrage. Everyone has, lots of people have concierge. It doesn't mean I'm...
Yeah, of course, of course. I mean, I don't.
You're wearing a suit right now. This is outrageous.
Yeah, I'm wearing a suit because I grew up very poor and I'm trying to hide that. It's called overcorrecting. Look, the way it costs a living, we're all going to end up as concierges, maybe.
We'll all be working for you, Rachel.
I don't own the flat.
Me.
I don't own the tower.
Me. I thought you were going to say you don't own the concierge. Like, good. You're not meant to own another human anymore.
It'll be me, Reese, RuPaul, Ruby. Good morning, m'lady.
Yeah. Right, babe. I'm like, fuck's sake.
Would you like your shoes shine, m'lady?
Just going to the discount pharmacy.
My lord, what can we, anything we can get you? No, I'm sure you probably live in absolute poverty.
Yeah, yes,
the truth is,
you.
You're a comedian thank after you. All. You are a comedian after all. But it's tricky, isn't it, this cost of living crisis? I mean, to be honest, I haven't thought about this, but I don't know, I've got quite drafty windows as well. So, probably brick them up. Start eating wood. Drink from the sea. I don't know. I haven't thought about it. I mean, I've got more money than sense. Look at this gorgeous club I've built in a car park. God, that was a question, but I don't know. It feels like a question for the 1 o'clock show. Do you know what I mean? Like Robert Kilroy Silk or something. All right. What's this one? These are all quite serious, but we'll keep cracking. Dear Diane,
what are your fears?
Any advice? Yeah. Dear Diane, what's the worst? No. Any advice for meeting like-minded queer people? Oh, this is nice for everyone here. It's a bit queer on the stage. Where do you go? What's your go-to places? You live in London, don't you, two? Where do you go out? Where's your little cool hangout places that you go to? Your nights out, your restaurants, your bars, your clubs?
I like the RVT in Vauxhall.
Yeah. Oh, that's I've done a couple of gigs there, may I add. Beautiful little crowd
nice.
There.
Really nice. Yeah, there's a night there called Butch Please.
Yeah, very good.
Great night.
That lesbian night, is it?
Yeah.
And it sells out.
From the title. That's good branding. Cool.
Yeah, it sells out in seconds because the lesbians are organised. But if you can get in, totally worth it.
What if you turn up dressed as a butcher? Could you also get in?
Yeah, they have a special thing specifically for that. It's never happened before, but you get pride of place if you do it.
What, an alarm goes off?
You're in the meat tray.
Shot into space.
What's the... I really like the... it's like a gay pub in London. This is so vague that I'm being so vague.
The Glory?
The Glory.
Yeah, yes. Well, that's one of my favourite hangouts. Yeah. Johnny Woo, John Sizzle, my beautiful friends are in that. It's gorgeous.
That's like my vibe, that kind of, like, because I remember as a teenager and early 20s being like, doof, doof, straight away, like, I've always looked like this. Like, and I used to, like, go to, like, dance clubs, like, in a suit and just stand up the back and wait for the drag queens to come on. But then realising, you know, you get a little bit older and you're like, oh, I can go to quiet, like, anywhere queer and quiet. Like, I just open a bar called Queer and Quiet.
That's nice, though. But that's a bit of a demographic that's not met, isn't it? Like, because you've either got, I mean, let's use Edinburgh, for example. You've got Paradise Palms, if you've been there, that's a gorgeous queer night bar.
Yeah.
And then you've got CC Blues, which is, like, old school.
The gayest name in history, surely.
Well, they only sell WKD.
Yeah.
Do you know what that's named after?
No, I actually don't know.
It's Bette Midler's character in Beaches.
Oh, that is.
That's her name.
Yeah.
CC Blues.
CC Blue. That's great.
I'm doing a little show on the South Bank tomorrow.
Oh.
I think I can do this as an exclusive because... Will this show have gone out by the time I'm on stage? It probably will be. But me and my friend Monica Dolan, we're going to do Beaches.
Oh.
The song Wing Beneath My Wings. Do you know Monica Dolan? That's she's a gorgeous actress. She was in... she's got a BAFTA. What was she in recently? That canoe thing on ITV. Did you see that? Anyway.
Doesn't ring a bell.
I'm just showing off. I'm name dropping. Forgive me. And then got Sophie Ellis-Bextor. She's coming on doing a few songs.
What the fuck?
Outside the National Theatre. Yeah, tomorrow. It's Milky and I've got to get the train in the bleeding morning.
I've got to cancel my shows.
Yeah,
that's
come
great.
Get the train with us. Then we've got to fly back at 4 o'clock in the morning. to get back here to do our chat show tomorrow at 5.
Sophie Ellis-Bextor. I loved her during she really flourished during the pandemic.
Oh, she did, yeah.
She was putting on like these online shows of just her and her kids having dance parties.
I know.
It was the greatest.
I've been to her house because we did her 40th birthday, Milky and I. Oh, yeah, me and her like
that. What was that
now?
From 5 years from now?
No.
I'm trying to compliment Sophie Ellis-Bextor from a podcast.
I'll put a good word in for you tomorrow. Yeah. But, oh, my God, what a spread they put on Milky. I stole about 15 dresses. Sorry, Sophie, if you're listening, but it's too late. You'd have done the show by then.
Is she tiny?
Oh, no, she's lovely.
She's huge.
No, she's tall and elegant.
Really?
She's very tall, very elegant.
She was
like a Kylie. Very tall, very elegant.
More of a Danny.
Oh, she's... What a presence.
Really?
And you should hear the set list she's doing.
Oh, stop
for tomorrow.
It.
She's only doing 3 songs, but they're called...
Murder on the Dance
I'm
Floor
really
three sure. times.
Yeah.
No, it's Murder on the Dance Floor. I'll do it.
I wouldn't even mind.
I might as well just say it. Who cares? She's doing Spiller, Groove Jet. Then she's doing her new single. Then she's doing Murder on the Dance Floor. All this on Saturday. Anyway, I'm talking rather. Talk about myself when I'm on a chat show. You didn't do Parky do that, did you? Probably because his life is boring. Dear Diane, I've got one more left. And we've got to finish soon, haven't I? We've had such nice chats, the time's flown by. Oh, my God, what a life. Dear Diane, my wife wants to take me on a P&O cruise, but I will feel trapped. What should I do? You ever been on a cruise? I said this the other day about going on a cruise, but have you ever been on a cruise?
I have. I've performed on cruises.
Oh, I bet you'll hit on those cruise ships.
Yeah.
Especially looking in as gorgeous as you do.
I look like staff. The dream is, because I don't do like the long, I've only ever done like the short ones where you go out for like, see in Australia they do these, they're called comedy cruises, and they just go into open water, do donuts and come back 3 days later. But the dream is you want to perform on the last night, because if you perform on the first night, they just know you on the ship then, because everyone goes to the ship, and then you can't be anonymous.
Yeah.
I've said this on stage before, but I heard a thing once where a member of the crew got very drunk and told me a story about how... Because I was saying, is there a morgue? I asked her if there was a morgue on the ship, basically.
That's the spirit.
And she was pissed when she said this, and she was like, worked in the kind of medical part. And she said, well, yeah, but it's like... And so a lot of people live out on the ships now, like... People don't look after old people anymore, so people just live on cruise ships for the rest of their lives because it's good food.
I'm going to cry.
And so they live out there, and so sometimes if they're out there for like weeks at a time and a few people die, they have to... She said, if ever you see people selling giving out free ice cream on deck, it means that someone has died and they've had to put them in the freezer.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if I should have told that story.
I love it. That is an exclusive and a half.
And then I also watched a man in a gong show. We do these shows where the people can come up on stage from the passengers and do like stand up for the first time. And we can gong them off. And I watched a man try and propose to his girlfriend, and she said no. And then someone gonged him.
And then the next day, loads of ice cream. Oh, God, he couldn't get over it, bless him.
No, I told that story so badly. There's usually a lot more jokes than that old people are dead story. But anyways.
Well, we enjoyed it. We're in
the
series. I
tell you how much my parents love a cruise. And now I'm like, oh, God, what if they die on a cruise?
Yeah.
I was going to say, Rachel, you must do a cruise every other week, too. What with you?
With the concierge.
I'm just off on sorry, concierge. I'm just off on another cruise. Doing the Disney one this
give
weekend.
Give a hold of my post if you can. Thanks.
And the concierge comes and like waves at you from the harbour with a hanky in his hand.
Waters all my plants, all of that.
Yeah.
It's nice. I don't know.
Ruby, you been on a cruise?
Never. No, no.
Have you ever been on a cruise?
Never been on a cruise. Been on a ferry. That's microdosing a cruise.
Well, a ferry will do. Where were you going on the ferry?
The New World.
Yeah, that's how I came over. I just have a very clear memory of being on a ferry at some
point. Was it Isle of Wight? That's a classic ferry.
Yeah, I have done that ferry with you.
Have we?
Yeah.
Huh?
You should have your own shows about travel. Do you remember I went on that ferry that time? Yeah, you did. Where was I going? I can't remember. Well, let's talk a bit more about it for another 20 minutes. Yeah. Shelf, do travel.
Yeah.
Like look out, Michael Palin. Yeah. Sorry. Okay, well, do you know what? Time has flown by. I haven't even asked you about your shows and what your shows are about and what time they're on. Could we do that? Let's do that quick before we do a little song. So just tell us about your show, what they're about, because that would be... that'd be gorgeous. And I've seen bits of your snow, so I know it's absolutely stunning and it's getting all the good reviews, is it not?
It's going very well. Very happy with it. Yeah, so we're on at 7:15. The show's called Hair. It's basically about Ruby cutting her hair and getting treated very differently. And kind of about gender expression and how we've had a very different experience of that.
Yeah, and I guess, we've kind of grown up together, so it's kind of about... there's completely different ways of experiencing gender, and then there's lots of songs.
Beautiful.
And from Rachel, lots of dancing.
So. And you are quite a mover.
Thank you.
I have to say that.
Thank you. Everyone talks about Ruby playing guitar, singing.
You don't get enough credit.
What about me? Am I gyrating hips?
Yeah, and you can't see it if you're listening to this, but she's doing it right now. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah.
She's been doing it the entire time.
Yeah.
It's been very distracting.
It's weird we haven't commented on it until now.
That's who you are. Just moving so quickly, levitate. Yeah. People can't even tell, like a hummingbird. Reese, okay, beautiful babe. What about yours?
I'm insane. no, I'm 8:25. I'm in Underbelly, in the Frisian. No, not Frisian. Ermentrude. They're all cow names. Just find it. The show's called Reese, and I wanted to name it after the Judy Garland Live at Carnegie Hall album that's just called Judy, 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 because I hadn't written my show yet. And it's kind of just, I don't know, it's a stand-up show. It's fun. It's like, it won best show at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Ooh. And...
Clang.
And Sydney, Clang, sorry, I'll just pick up these pile of awards I've brought with. It's weird no one's brought up the fact that I've been holding awards this whole time. But yeah, I don't know, come on by. I'm having a really nice time. We were talking before the record about how we're having a nice enough time at the Fringe that I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like, it shouldn't be going this well. So come on by and watch me cry.
We will be
there the night it falls.
The be the turn. Reason.
Yeah, be the reason. Commit.
Yes, Queen. Yes, Queen. RuPaul's a green screen. He's Yoda.
The moment someone clicks in the air at my show... they are removed by security.
Yeah, quite instantly. Well, their seat just drops through and they fall into the, if it's a cow, it'll be into the udder. Okay, beautiful. Now, we finish up the show. We've had a gorgeous time. Oh, my God. Loved every second. Thank you so much for being guests. But the way we... give me something, Milky. What you got for me? You're looking very sporty. Anyone listening at home, Milky's wearing a pair of Speedos and that's it.
And they pulled up his crack as well.
Oh, yeah. And we just make up a song.
Oh, no.
It's a gorgeous sunny day on the cruise. The sun's shining on my forehead. There's a little body swimming in the sea. No, in the swimming pool. It stopped moving. Someone jumps in to help them out. But it's too late. They're dead. So someone comes along and drives them out and puts them in the freezer. What's that person's name, they say? Oh, that's Mike. Oh, what's Mike do? Well, he's a concierge in London. He's a concierge in London. And he spends his time in love. This is rubbish. With... Rachel. Anyone want to do a verse? Because I'm failing here dismally.
I am absolutely not doing a verse.
I can't sing. Ruby.
You can't do. You are comedy. You really need comedy musical act. Go on,
yeah,
Ruby.
Go on,
you don't
Ruby.
Have to.
Right, there's no one here to see it.
I'll gyrate.
I don't think I'm good enough at improv for this. That's why we script everything.
Yeah, neither am I. It seems.
That was pretty good.
That was all right, wasn't it, at first?
Yeah,
then
that
I lost my confidence.
You just said London a few
times. What was the chorus? The chorus was...
in London, I thought.
I think
it's a well. A concierge in London. He lives his life. A concierge in London. he lead a good life. They say, but why did he die? Why? He was having a good time last night watching a comedian thrive. Who was it? What was their name? Oh, Reese, I think. I think the name was Reese. It was so good that no one could handle it. And everyone on the ship died, and then there was loads of free ice cream, like Vianetta, Cornettos, Soleros, and then the whole ship just got a rat influenza, and then they died, and then there was some robin. Okay, thanks for joining us for Time with Julie. Oh, well, you can't get them all. You can't win them all.
You got most of them.
It's life.
It's life. It's life. So sometimes they're rubbish, sometimes they're good. On this occasion, I'll give it 6 out of 10.
I'd give it 8 out of 10.
It read like a 9.
It read like a 9. Okay, well, that's all I asked for. Well, thank you for coming to the beautiful record of our podcast. It's a hot day out there. You have been so charitable with your time. We're very grateful.
Such a nice time.
Yeah, it's been lovely.
I don't want to do my show.
I don't either. But then again, I haven't since the day I arrived. So. What else has changed? All I want to do is watch ITV. The Masked Singer reruns. That's all I want. I'm going to do that one day. And do you know what I'm going to be? A big gatto. A big Black Forest gatto. Just pied right in the face. Anyway, shut up, Diane. Thank you to my beautiful guests, Reese Nicholson and Shelf. Woo! You've been wonderful. Woo! This is a Hat Trick Codpass coming to you live from our beautiful club in Edinburgh, The Flick. Thank you, Chris Jones, my beautiful producer. Diggory, way over there. He's decided just to join us. He's not even bothering. Alex at the back there, J'adore. Thank you, everyone, for a lovely Codpass. And goodbye. Beautiful. And Milky. Woo! Thank you, Milky. I love you. You're the best. Oh, hey. Gorgeous.
Chatting with Julie is recorded at my beautiful club, The Flick, down in the Assembly Underground. Oh, gorgeous. A big thanks to the wonderful people down at Berksness and my beautiful little music geek, Andy Goddard. Assistant producer is Diggory Waite. My beautiful little producer is Chris Jones. This is a Hat Trick Codpast.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.